The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
John at RTE.ie.
Now, the life of a young Sligo woman changed dramatically when she was sentenced to 5 years in prison after being caught transporting a gun for criminals. Deirdre Moran served 3 years in Mountjoy Prison's female wing for collecting a gun for her then lover and father of her child, the crime boss Patrick Irwin. However, her time inside led her to learning new skills and opening a dressmaking business. And with the dark days firmly behind her, you can now see her modelling creations on Facebook, where they are also for sale. And Deirdre Moran, you're very welcome and thank you for coming in.
Thanks.
And Deirdre, just take us back to that time when I suppose things got a bit hairy for you. What exactly happened?
Well, back in 2008, I kind of started getting back around my ex, and it was in 2008 that I was arrested for transporting a gun. And then at the time, I had felt in a very kind of compromised position. It wasn't just kind of black and white why I was arrested or whatever, but I was sentenced then at the start of 2011 to 5 years in prison, and went to prison then.
Mm. And tell us about what happened. You were obviously, you were apprehended with the gun in your possession.
Yeah. They'd arrested me on the N4, just kind of leaving Dublin on my way back to Sligo, and They'd been given information about it, and they'd pulled me over, and the gun was in my car. They arrested me, brought me to the Garda station. I was there for 24 hours. I was released then and charged, and it was about 2 years later that I was put into prison.
And the gun itself, you knew you were passing it on to your then boyfriend, Patrick Irwin.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
And tell us, when did you first get to know Patrick Irwin?
Around about 2002. And it was always kind of very casual with him. It was never a big official thing. And I got pregnant and I had my son in 2003. But then it kind of broke off then, and we were kind of in and out of each other's lives for however many years then after that.
And do you regret being involved with him at all now at this stage?
Of course I do, because of what... I don't regret, obviously, my son, because he came out of that, but I do regret going back around him, back around 2008, because that's when it all just went pear-shaped, because I'd gotten on with my life so far, you know what I mean? Even after having my son, I'd gotten on with my life and had my own kind of things going on, and it was just then that I got back around him in 2008, and yeah, I regret that, getting back around him.
And what made you drift back into a relationship with him?
I don't know. But I suppose Sligo being a small town, it was, you know what I mean, and we were kind of always, I suppose, in contact or whatever. And I don't know, back then I was younger. I think I kind of liked the bit of excitement and that back then. So I was maybe drawn to it more, definitely not now, but then back then, yeah.
It was a gangland scene, was it?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it wasn't like that when... It's not like that when you're really in it. It's not like, you know what I mean, it's everyday living. But there would have been excitement, or you know what I mean, that was around him. There wouldn't have been your everyday kind of boring 9 to 5 or something like that. So, I think I liked the bit of excitement in it.
And what was that excitement?
I don't know. Maybe the bit of danger and things like that. Just that it wasn't the norm, I think, you know what I mean? Especially living around a town like that, there isn't much going on. So just maybe the bit of danger, I'd say.
Mm. So you were part of what would have been a well-known criminal gang.
Well, I wasn't part, you know what I mean? I wasn't actually active in the gang, if you know what I mean. I wasn't part of a gang, but I knew them all, and yeah, I would have been around them at time to time, yeah.
And you would have been aware of what they were up to?
Yeah.
Mm. And did you never, you know, never wonder to yourself whether this was a good thing to be doing?
Yeah, I did. No, I did, of course. But as I said, I was always kind of in and out. It wasn't like I was there 24/7. I always had my own kind of life going on as well, with my own family and friends and my job and stuff and my son. So I wasn't around it constantly 24/7. I wasn't living in it. So I could kind of come and go. Not that that's any better, but I was... I suppose maybe that made it kind of easier to kind of justify it, was because I was kind of getting going in and out from it.
And would your family have been aware of the scene you were in at the time?
My mother would have they would have known what... Yeah, I don't think they knew to the extent maybe until I was arrested, and that maybe that... But they would have known that he wasn't any good. They've never liked him.
And he's serving time at the moment.
He is, yeah.
For possession of, I think, 3 kilos of cocaine.
I don't know how much, but yeah, for cocaine.
And how long is he in prison?
He's doing 7 for the cocaine and 3 for another offence.
Was so there sort of a, I'm just wondering, as you describe it, was there a sort of a glamour for you attached to being part of that gang in some way?
Maybe, yeah, because the money side of it and stuff like that, yeah, maybe. There was.
When you say the money side of it,
there's a lot of money to be made in it. There's money getting thrown at you, so yeah.
And where does the money come from? From the proceeds?
Yeah, it must have been, yeah.
Yeah. So were there others like you, other hangers-on, let's
I'd
call
say,
them?
Yeah.
Like, how many people would have been in that circle? How many?
Oh, God, I don't know. There could have been a good few.
But you would have known straight away when you met him that Patrick was, I suppose, what's best described as somebody well-known to Gardaí.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as bad as what it was back when I first started getting around him. But yeah, he would have been known to Gardaí even back then.
And when you were transporting that gun to him, did you know what the gun was going to be used for?
No, I didn't. I asked no question. I didn't even know what it was. Literally, someone put it into my car. I knew I was going up collecting. I had an idea it was a gun. I wasn't actually told because, you know what I mean, it's kind of on a need to know basis kind of thing. So it was put in under my seat. I didn't touch it. I didn't go near it.
There was a Smith & Wesson revolver.
It was put under that. I had a fair idea what it was, but it was put under my seat by somebody else. I didn't touch it or go near it.
And when the Gardaí came across you and the gun, what was your first thing to think about?
Oh, just my heart sank and I just knew I was in it up to my eyes then. So you just think of my son and my family and how I was after letting them all down.
It must have been tough.
Yeah.
And were they understanding at the time, or was there a bit of isolating? There was
a certain amount of kind of obviously anger and that. But that was actually the most stressful time between the getting arrested and the sentencing. That was the worst time of all. It was worse than being in prison because it's a waiting game and you don't know what you're facing, but yet you know you're facing something up and down up here to Dublin for the courts. You know what I mean? The fear of the unknown. Do you know what I mean? I knew I was going to have to, what was I going to tell my son? I was going to have to sit him down and say to him, and I didn't know for how long I was going to go away for, so I didn't know how long to tell him that I was going for. And of course, yeah, it was very stressful on my parents as well and my whole family.
And were you taken aback at the sentence you received then in the court case?
The 5 years. Initially, I was. But when I went in then and kind of got my head around it, I'd kind of understood and that there was a certain kind of mandatory sentence with that crime as well. So I'd gotten the mandatory 5, do you know what I mean? So I got over it, do you know what I mean? Initially, yeah, I kind of was, because I thought, you know, you never think you're going to get that. But
what was it like when you heard that sentence being handed down?
My heart just sank. And you don't even get a chance to say goodbye to your family or that they're in the court. You're literally just led out out the back and brought down to the holding cell. So you don't really get a chance to kind of, you know what I mean, you're just kind of in shock.
And the separation from your son must have been very difficult.
Yeah.
What age was he at the time?
He was 7 at the time of me going to prison. Yeah, and he was 10 when I got back out again.
Yeah, and were you able to see him regularly?
Yeah. My mother was very good. She used to bring him up every week, if not every week, then every 2 weeks. So it was good. Like, and the visits are good enough in the Doka Centre. So,
And you were able to have your son. What your son's name?
Luke.
Luke, and to sit him down on your knee.
Was he
all questions about what Mammy was doing?
Yeah, he was. He was. He kind of acted up a bit like the first few visits. I remember they were very hard because obviously he didn't know kind of how to react to it as well. But it got easier as time kind of went by, and it's easier on you in there when it's easier on everyone else outside. You know what I mean? So once he kind of, you know, was able to get his head around it, and my family and that were able to get their head, like, it made it easier for me then as well.
He stayed with your mother?
Yeah.
And what about life in Mountjoy? What was it like? Were you worried about what you'd face when you went behind bars?
As I said, the initial worry is when you first go in is not about yourself. It's more so about, again, my son, my family. Like, how were they going to tell my mum? Because she hadn't come to the court. She was minding my son that day. So, you know what I mean? That was my initial fear. Then when you go in, it's not that bad in there. Like, it's you know what I mean? Most people are nice. Most people are welcoming. And you know what I mean? Especially someone coming in who's after just being sentenced to a long sentence and it's their first time in. People are very sympathetic, you know what I mean? Even the girls and a lot of the officers as well. So it wasn't, you know what I mean? Once you get into a routine, get your own room, get into a routine, the time flies in there.
And you made friends easily, did
yeah.
you? With both prison officers and
well,
prisoners.
Mostly the girls, yeah. The prison officers, you don't really make, you just, you might, you know, if you need something, you go to them. But with the girls are all, a lot of them are lovely in there.
So after a while, you got into the swing of things.
Yeah.
And you started doing a bit of sewing, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Started, done a sewing class in there. And because I'd always actually wanted to be able to do that.
Mm.
So it took the
behind bars, you didn't feel in any sense threatened or
no.
concerned?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the fighting and arguments are over drugs in there. So once you stay away from that scene, there's nothing really.
So to stay outside it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is it difficult to stay outside of
no.
it? Or is the temptation
no.
is the temptation
no,
out there?
The no, I found it not at all.
But you're saying there was a drug scene there among some of your
oh, yeah,
fellow
yeah,
prisoners.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just kept clear of it.
Yeah.
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 And it must have been very lonely.
It is, because, yeah, especially when, like, it is lonely because you're around so many people, but yes, you can feel very alone. But I have to say, I made a lot of friends, but there's one or two really close friends, and we all kind of helped each other out. And I have to say, it makes it so much easier, especially when people are going through the same kind of thing as you or whatever. And there's a lot of people in there who would have had similar kind of things happen to them.
They were there for similar reasons.
Well, yeah, well, I don't. They were there for different crimes, but may have had the same kind of, you know what I mean, things that had happened to them over the years
mm-hmm.
that kind of led to them coming in.
Mm-hmm. And you found it okay to sleep in prison? You didn't?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the food?
It gets its days. Some days are nice, some days are horrible. But yeah. I worked in the kitchen for a while as well, so you can kind of make your own stuff in there.
Oh, I see. Yes, that helps. And you were released after 3 years of the 5-year sentence.
Yeah, yeah, I was.
There was remission thrown into the
mix.
Yeah,
with remission.
And you had to
yeah.
do a bit of community service.
Yeah, community return, yeah.
Yeah, and tell us then about doing in prison what you have made a business out of now, the fashion side of things. You hadn't sewed before?
No, never used a sewing machine before. I'd done that for, it was a 6-month course, but I continued on once there was a sewing machine free and stuck at it for another 6 months after that. So, and then I actually bought a sewing machine for myself while I was in there. So I had it in my room and was doing that while I was kind of working in the kitchen and doing other things. And I'd done 2 Open University courses in business studies in there as well. So, and then there's kind of other bits of courses and here, there and everywhere. So mm-hmm. just keeping busy.
Yeah, so there's plenty to get on with.
Yeah.
And tell us about your business today then. Is it going well?
Yeah, it is. It's starting up well. I started up the Facebook page there kind of towards the end of the summer and was just putting up some of the stuff I'd made for myself. And people then started asking me to make stuff for them. And then I was making stuff that I'm making a few kind of items and just kind of selling them through Facebook. So, yeah, it's starting to kind of move forward.
Yeah, we have a few photographs there of some of your mm-hmm. fashions. You might talk us through them, please. What's distinctive of this? This looks like
that one I had made the skirt. It was just for a Saturday night I was going out.
A blue or black skirt?
It's black, yeah.
Black.
It's just something I made. Obviously, I get things into my head and just kind of want them for the Saturday night or whatever occasion or whatever, and just make them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And is there a particular fashion, you know, that you're
interested
in?
No, there's not. I could make, you know what I mean. I just kind of make anything I feel that I like or want or something that I could get inspiration off the internet or fashion shows, anything like that, and just think, yeah, I like that, but I'll change this and that and just make it.
And do you do wedding dresses?
I've never made a wedding dress. I've made dresses for people attending weddings, but not an actual wedding dress yet.
And are you making a good living out of it now?
I've started to make money. Yeah, I have. Now, as again, at the start of a business, it's a lot of it's going back into the business as well. So, you know what I mean? You're buying kind of materials or things like that. But yeah, yeah, I can see myself making a living out of it
mm-hmm.
once I kind of get up and running.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, good luck with it. By the way, did you get a chance to see Love Hate at all?
I did, yeah.
Was it an accurate reflection of gangland life?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
What do you think?
I think they've done their homework and just everything. Yeah, I do think it's very good. They're down to the little things that they do and the fact that the stress, you know what I mean, that on Nidge that was coming, the stress, it was all kind of crumbling down around them. That always happens and it eventually happens to them all.
And it's drug fueled a lot of it then. That doesn't help when there's drugs involved.
No, yeah.
And what about Nidge's runners, King Nidge?
You wouldn't have designed them. No, I didn't like yourself.
Do you have any contact now with Patrick Irwin?
No, none whatsoever.
And does he have any contact with your son, Luke?
Yeah, he does, yeah. My son's auntie does bring him to see him every now and again. But there's nothing between.
And looking back now, is it difficult?
Yeah.
Do you regret what happened?
Yeah, I do. But I believe everything happens for a reason. So I try not to kind of dwell on it and think, well, look, I made a positive out of the negative that happened. So there's nothing I can do to change that now. And I sometimes think back and I remember at the time I felt I had no way out of the life because it was kind of, it was really getting pressured on me and stuff like that. So at the time I felt I had no way out. So I just say to myself, well, look, at the time I thought I had no choice. But look, you know what I mean? So now that I'm out of it.
Just that.
There was a lot of.
He was domineering.
Yeah, yeah. So at the time I felt I had no way out, but now I have gotten out of it. So prison got me away from it.
And did you take drugs at the time? Were you taking drugs?
No.
Right. Well, thanks a million, Deirdre. Yes, there's a listener from Sligo just on to us. Why are you giving this woman airtime? Those people make life hell for us in Sligo and we're afraid to speak out about it. What did she think that gun was going to be used for?
I agree with you. Do you know what I mean? I'm not defending it. Mm-hmm. I know there's going to be people who don't. I'm not trying to say that it wasn't. But as I said, I didn't know. And I didn't particularly know it was a gun. As I said, I knew there was something being put there, but I didn't ask. I wasn't told. And I'm not trying to make excuses for it. I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Well, Deirdre, by the way, your Facebook page, how can people find you?
Yeah, it's Dee Moran, dressmaking and styling on Facebook.
Okay, well, listen, good luck with it, Deirdre.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for coming in to chat to us this morning. Thank you.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.